You all set? Okay. Good evening, everyone.
Hello.
Evening.
Let's call this meeting to order. This is the meeting of the Districting Commission, which was appointed pursuant to City Charter Section 4.02. The purpose of this evening's meeting is to go over the City Commission districting map and to make a determination whether or not revisions need to be made to the district map. The first order of business, of course, since this is the first meeting, would be to administer the oath of office, which we're required by law to do. Then I would like the group to appoint a chair so they can take over this task, and then we'll give you a precursor and a little bit of background information, and then I'll do that so you understand the legal requirements. And then at that point, I would like to introduce you to a consultant that the city retained from the East Central Florida Planning Agency that helped put together the population data and the maps that are in your package. And then we'll go from there. Yes, Andrea.
Would you like me to call roll first or afterwards?
No, go ahead and call. Okay. Call the roll now that I've given a little brief introduction.
Okay. Mr. Zoltan Skip Arock Jr.
Here.
Mr. James Evans.
Here.
Mr. Robert Henderson.
Here.
Ms. Mary Hoffman.
Here.
Mr. Maurice Capro.
Here.
Ms. Joanne M. Krebs.
Here.
Mr. David Withy.
Here.
City Attorney Anthony A. Garganese.
Here.
Thank you.
Thanks. So if I can ask everyone just to please stand and raise your right hand and repeat after me. Okay. I state your name.
I am Robert Henderson.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
The Constitution and government.
The Constitution and government.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And of the state of Florida.
And of the state of Florida.
And that I am duly qualified to hold office under the Constitution of the state.
And that I am duly qualified to hold office under the Constitution of the state.
And that I will well and faithfully perform.
And that I will well and faithfully perform.
The duties of Districting Commission.
The duties of Districting Commission.
On which I am now about to enter.
On which I am now about to enter.
Thank you. The clerk will have an oath of office for everyone to execute it after the meeting.
Sure. Thank you.
I think we have it.
So at this point, I would ask the members to open up nominations to serve as the chair and of the Districting Commission. So each one of you has the right to make a nominee.
I would nominate Joanne Krebs.
Any other nomination for chair? Hearing none, there's one nominee on the floor. A motion would be in order to appoint the chair.
I so moved.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Aye.
Former Commissioner Krebs, now Chairperson Krebs. The meeting is yours. First order of business would be for a vice chair to be appointed.
I'm so sorry, I tell you about the original.
Any nominations for vice chair? Everybody can make a nomination.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, I'd like to nominate Rabbi Maurice Capro for vice chair.
Second.
Anyone else?
Any other nominees?
Andrea, would you call the roll?
Sure. Board Member Krebs?
Aye.
Board Member Capro?
Aye.
Board Member Arock?
Aye.
Board Member Henderson?
Aye.
Board Member Withy?
Aye.
Board Member Evans?
Aye.
Board Member Hoffman?
Aye.
Okay. I can. I'm going to give you a brief introduction of the.
That's yeah.
Of the legal requirements that we have before us this evening. Pursuant to the City Charter, Section 4.02, the City Commission is required to appoint every 3 years a Districting Commission. The sole purpose of the Districting Commission is to review the City Commission districts and to make a recommendation, or actually make a recommendation to the City Commission regarding whether or not the district boundaries have to be modified. Now, under the city charter, each district, it's not a traditional single-member voting district where residents within the district only vote for the commissioner that is running in that particular district. In Winter Springs' case, the purpose of the boundaries and creating the districts is that there are five city commissioners that serve on the commission, and then one non-voting mayor. So we have six in the whole body. For each of the city commissioners have to reside within one of the districts. So it's and under the city charter, in order to run to serve on the city commission, you have to reside within that district at least, I believe it's a minimum of six months prior to putting your name into the hat to run for the city commission. So the importance of the district boundaries is to basically spread out within the districts the five commissioners that will ultimately serve on the city commission. And there's a residency requirement attached to that. So the purpose of the districting commission is to, again, review the boundaries, and the district commission has 90 days from the date of appointment in which to make the recommendation to the city commission by charter. Unfortunately, this year, I think we've gotten started a little late. There's been a little turnover in the community development department, which historically has been responsible for putting together all of the statistics and population data that the commission needs to make their recommendation. So the city had to retain the services of East Central Florida Planning Council to help it gather the data. And once the district and commission makes its recommendation, the city commission will consider the report. They have to consider the report, I believe it's at least 120 days before the next city election. So once they get the report, that in this particular cycle, they will have a significant amount of time in which to consider the report and recommendation from the district and commission. How are the boundaries set? There's a lot of constitutional principles and related to setting districts due to constitutional equal protection type issues. Those issues are far more complicated when you actually have single member districts where voters are limited and just voting on the commission running for that particular district and no other district. Nonetheless, those principles, constitutional principles, do apply, and there's certain criteria and principles in creating the boundaries. I won't get into all those particular details, but when you're creating the boundaries, you want to look for like natural boundaries, streets. Try not to carve up subdivisions. So you have multiple districts in one particular subdivision. You try to follow these traditional districting principles when drawing the map lines. But when you how do you go about drawing the map lines is you have to determine what the total population is in each district, first and foremost. In addition, and very importantly, you have to look at the voting age population in each district. And under constitutional principles, you have to stay within each district has population, voting age population, most importantly, has to stay within a certain range. In other words, you don't want to have one district that has 10,000 voting age population residents and another district that only has 5,000. That would violate equal protection requirements. And in our case, it would arguably violate equal protection rights of those that want to run for a particular city commission district. So you can just look at it in terms of fairness. There are only 5,000 eligible candidates to run in one district versus 10, the pool of candidates, there's a significant disparity, which raises equal protection type issues that we have to contend with. So it's a very statistical driven process. And you're going to see in the report that East Central Florida Planning Council is going to go over in a PowerPoint presentation how statistically, cumbersome this process is. But hopefully, when you review the presentation, you will see how, in this particular cycle of redistricting, it was necessary, or is necessary, to redraw the lines a little bit. Why? Everyone lives here. You see where all the new residential units are being built. So predominantly, they're being built in one district. And what that's doing is it's increasing the voting age population in one particular district, District 2, right? 2? And it's causing the percentages of voting age population, a.k.a. VAP, to become a little off kilter. And you'll see that the recommendation tonight is to make some adjustments to rebalance the voting age population totals for each particular district. And how do we, the law has given us guidance, and the commission has given us some specific guidance on how to handle this interim process. And how did we determine additional voting age population in the districts? You will hear in the presentation that we started at the baseline of 2016, when the last districting commission was appointed and recommended MAP amendments. That 2016 data includes the 2010 census data, the 2013 districting commission's recommendation and population adjustments, and then in the 2016 adjustments. We start there at 2016, and then between 2016 and today, East Central, our consultant had to go and determine how many certificate of occupancies were granted by the city for new residences in each of the districts. And once you determine how many certificate of occupancies have been issued, of course, that means that unit is available to be occupied. And we presume that it is occupied, and we use a statistical number, I think it was 2.776, to determine the estimated average number of people that would reside in that particular district. And then we extrapolate based on all of the data from 2010 to 2016, how many voting age population would be in each one of those residences, and then all the charts and numbers change, and you deal with trying to rebalance. So that's generally a summary of what's been going on at the staff level. That's going to be presented to you in pictures, which is much more interesting than in my comments, and charts. Does anybody have any questions on what the districting commission is going to be doing?
I do, actually.
Yeah, sure.
Given that this is my first one, I know there's a certain formality because it's an official function, but in terms of questions, mm-hmm. just for my edification, is it okay just to ask at will, or is there a certain time that's appropriate to do that?
It's whatever the pleasure of the committee is.
I would just say to, yes, ask at will, because I don't have any way to know who's raising their hand, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
I will go from there.
All right. Anybody have any questions? All right. You're up.
I'm a senior GIS analyst and urban designer at the East Central Florida Regional Planning Council. I have 10 years of experience working with cities, a lot of city data, analytics, and statistics in terms of population. A lot of census data, a lot of demographics. So this particular project really fit our office well. Just to give you a little bit of background, the Regional Planning Council covers 8 counties. Each of those 8 counties, we have 2 sitting members, commissioners on our council. We also have municipal representatives and agency representatives, and we provide technical assistance at the staff level to cities, counties, agencies, and we work together all around the region and sometimes the state. So this is the report that we came up with. I am going to take you basically page by page through the thing, following with the PowerPoint presentation. It's actually aligned 100%.
Before you do that?
Yeah, sure.
I'm sorry. I'm reminded we have to ask for public input, and it'll just take a couple of minutes. So if there's anybody from the public who would like to speak, now would be a good time. Seeing none and hearing none, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so a lot of this was just went over, but every 3 years, obviously, the city, per the city charter, has to go through and look at their districts. And in particular, the districts have two primary criteria from a population and VAP perspective. The largest district can't be 10% larger than the smallest district in terms of population and VAP. And then also, for VAP and population, if you were to take the total population and divide it by 5, that's really the optimal population for each district. No district can be greater or less than 5% greater than that value as well. So you can't have a district that's less than 6% or greater than 6% over that, or greater than 3%, say, over that value. They would be within 9%, but not within the 5% criteria. So we have to do multiple things at one time when we're looking at this population and VAP. We have to look at both of them. So in short, you'll see in the summary, disproportionate population growth in the eastern side of the city is really going to force those boundaries just a little bit to the west. From a pragmatic perspective, my goal and our goal when doing this analysis was to really simplify, to do as small number of edits as possible, and to keep those edits contiguous with roadways or rivers, just primary linear aspects of your city. And I think you'll see that we've done that and even consolidated one of your districts in particular quite well. So that could actually be a district improvement. The Community Development Department in 2016 created that report. And I believe this is on the next page of your report. And you can see here the baseline VAP and baseline population for each of the districts that report came up with. Now, the methodology used to determine the population with the certificate of occupancy, we use that same exact methodology moving forward. As I just said, our current population analysis used 2016 as a baseline. And city staff provided to us in Excel format certificate of occupancy data from May 16 through May 2016 in order to determine population increases. Now, what we did is for each of these address points, we plopped them into ArcGIS, which is basically a database that has a geographic point, so you can see where it is on a map, and that point has data associated with it. These are all of the new units as of the cutoff date of the certificate of occupancy data that you got. And you can see on the eastern side of the city, it's a lot of really single-family units. On the western side and the eastern side, it's a lot more multifamily style development, and primarily in District 2. So to do the population counts, as was just said, we use the most up-to-date persons per household figure for Seminole County, Florida. This was actually updated since the last update to the report because the American Community Survey data comes out every few years from the census. So we used a figure of 2.76. And then the voting age population, we really went granular there like last time. So that's broken down at a census block group level. So for each new unit that we're in, we knew what census block group, which is a much smaller geographical area, we knew which block it went into. Each one of those blocks has a different voting area population. One will be, say, 75.2%. Another one will be like 89%. So it really varies. And it's also important to note that within the same GIS database, which will be provided to the city so you can map it, we actually tagged or created a column for the census block group within each of those new unit parcels. So we were able to very quickly and easily see how many new units per district and per census block were added. So this is just an example. These are all of the block groups within the city with residences in them. And this VAP percentage right here is what we were just talking about. Again, this goes right with the report, but this next slide here is going to put it all together. It's going to go districts. Each district is its own table. So District 1 had four different census block groups. There's the VAP. There's the new number of units. You multiply those to get the VAP added, and that is the summary right there. So 38 new voting age residents in District 1, 999 in District 2, 50 in 3, and 7 in Districts 4 and 5.
It's pretty dramatic for two.
Yeah, it's very highly disproportionate. Yeah, and going into an analysis like this, you would hope that it wouldn't have to change, but it was very clear very early that we would have to change the districts. So these are the extrapolated populations. You can see District 2, 8,600 as compared to 6,958, so about a 1,659 difference right there. So basically, I've said this. The conclusion was...
Can you just go back to that previous slide
Sure.
explain to the district, the commission that... the deviation from optimal and what that means.
Yes, absolutely.
Because that's really why we're here.
Yeah, that was an omission. So you can see the deviations over here. You'll see this throughout the PowerPoint. Yeah. When they're highlighted in red, that means that they're not optimal. They each need to be between negative 5% and 5%. So you can see here that three of the districts violate the population deviation, and then four of the districts violate the VAP deviation. Mm-hmm.
That's the red flag, you know,
yeah.
in redistricting when you
right.
see numbers like that.
Right. So those are our conclusions. As I said, a shift to the west. And this is all of our shifts on one map. So you can see that from District 2, the rise in town center area, we are proposing being moved from District 2 down to District 5. Those are 3A and 3B, so our four proposed changes are 3A, 3B, 3C, and 3D. 3C is the highly contiguous major actual improvement, I believe, to the districts. It's right down in the southwestern portion of the city. It's a very contiguous, what I mean by that is all these neighborhoods right here are really connected to those neighborhoods over to the west, and there's a lot of green space here, so it's actually a pretty nice contiguous boundary. And then up here, we actually take in District 4, there was this portion right here on one side of 434 that wasn't in District 4. And as you'll see in our last step, we had to move units from 1 into 4. So that was a nice natural progression. And then there really weren't any neighborhoods in here that you couldn't fully split in half and put into the other side. So we did find in 3D right here, there is a river and a major roadway right here that that kind of delineate that chunk of population. So now I'm going to take you step by step through the realignment summaries. And one thing to notice, I wouldn't read the numbers on that screen. They're probably way too small. I may have a little bit of trouble reading them myself. But the way that they work is... you've generally got your starting population over on the left, and then your starting VAP right on the left on this table. And then we say how many units were added, what is that translation into VAP or population, and then given that step, what is that new population after that change is made? So the first change that was made was the area to the west of the town center. And you can see that was quite the substantial move. That was step one. Step two, which is 3B, was another move in that area, the town center area, going once again into District 5 to the south. And then I would take note in 3A and 3B of those deviations in red. So you can see that they've actually gone down a little bit or adjusted just a little bit. One very important thing to say is you can't necessarily just right away put all the largest districts units into the smallest districts. It's almost like it needs to be a chain reaction so that one goes into another and then you may bring that ones up, but then it's going to go back down because another district needs units. It's a really, the pragmatism that goes into it is you're trying to keep it as simple as possible, but it's a really a cumulative exercise. If I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, every movement creates another movement.
Exactly. Here is 3C, and by the way, we have all these files and all the parcels that are associated with these moves. We have them stored in ArcGIS as well. But this is the 3C movement, and it really, this is the really nice contiguous chunk. And once again, you can see that on the right, after this move was made, the population counts were actually within the acceptable ranges. But due to the voting area population of District 4 being much lower on average than the other districts, the voting age population was still violated in Districts 1 and 4.
Can I trouble you to actually give numbers to those with that last comment you just made?
What was that?
Could you actually put the percentages that you were just giving as that example so I can follow along here on the chart?
Oh, which percentages? I'm sorry.
Well, you were saying
variance. Oh, yeah, yes. Over here on the right, under the deviation.
Yeah. Page 7.
Yeah, page 7. Yeah, that page those seven. Deviation, you'll see two red highlighted numbers. Mm-hmm. Perfect. So one of them is highly in the negative and one's on the positive, and they're right next to each other. So the final step moving forward is going to be on the next slide to move from one of those districts into the other to really bring them closer to 0%. So if you flip over to the next slide, you'll see that the units on the north side of this major roadway that are already connected to this neighborhood will once again be connected to the neighborhood that they're a part of. And then, as I stated, there really weren't any neighborhoods in here that would offer the number. They had too many units in them, basically.
Is that actually D and not E?
Yes, that is supposed to say E. That's actually probably a very important amendment. I'm not sure if we can, just the label on that.
Oh, 3E should be 3D.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, 3E should be 3D. That's
what I thought, graphic. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
All the other ones say.
And that was because, I think, probably because of the previous draft.
Right, yeah. So we actually took the number down.
The charts are correct. It's just the map that's incorrect.
Right.
So it should be 3D.
It should be 3D. That's very important. I'm not sure if that needs to be labeled in an official version. But yes.
Depending on the recommendation, we can clean that up. It's only on the map where it says 3E. You have 3D everywhere.
The charts are correct.
Charts and the title is correct.
Right. Sorry about that.
Good catch. I didn't catch that today.
And then this in parcel format, once again, this is available. This is flipping another page in the report. This is the actual districts in full color code form. So you can see that actually District 3 doesn't change at all. The charts here say how many units were added or removed to each of the districts, and then on the right-hand side in the yellow and blue, you can see what the new populations and new VAPs and what their respective deviations are, and they're all within that 5% ratio, and they're actually very close. I believe they're within 6% of each other.
Yeah.
And not only that, the map, if you look at the color coding on the map, I hope it printed well, especially between districts 1 and 4. You can see that it really is contiguous, especially along those major roads. Sure. I would like to add one more comment before I conclude. One of the major reasons why we added the town center down to the south into that district, I believe District 5, is because this major roadway right here is a very nice boundary. That's a very good contiguous boundary. And kind of similar to the district over to the west, there weren't the proper number of units in any of those developments to move them over without it looking a little bit awkward. So that's why that town center piece went down to the south and southwest.
I just have one question.
Yeah.
At the top of page 9, the wording reads, the following population counts, VAP counts, and deviations resulted from the 5 alterations made to the voting districts. There were not 5, there were only 4 alterations.
Yes, so that should say 4 as well.
Yeah.
Good catch. That's again because we eliminated that.
Right, and that's because we actually eliminated one of our alterations.
We were working on the fly before the committee meeting.
Right. Yeah, so if you have any questions or comments, either now or after, there's my contact information.
Yes. Going back to the beginning, I think, Tony, when you were talking, there was a made mention about certificates of occupancy, and you attribute a certain population base to each CO. Based on multifamily, when these things are finished, every dwelling is CO'd, right?
Yes.
Even if it's not full.
Yes.
So what happens in the event of an economic downturn?
I'm actually not positive about that, about the certificate of occupancy on multifamily.
It is.
It is. Yeah, so.
So then my question would be, especially since there's been quite a bit of building, what percentage of the dwellings that have COs are actually occupied?
Right.
If you have an economic downturn and nobody's expecting a 2008 again, but clearly things happen and you could have those things go unlived in for 2-3 years very easily.
Right.
So you're inadvertently misrepresenting the population there.
Right. Well, I believe, you know, it's really
just an assumption.
The occupancy rates are actually really high. One of the reasons we didn't use that in the previous methodology, that also wasn't included. We did want to continue that. But yeah, I can definitely see where you're coming from there. But from a methodology perspective, how do you gather that data? I mean, do you call and ask how many are occupied right now versus unoccupied? You know, that does add another layer to the methodology.
Yeah, it's a snapshot. I mean, you're taking a snapshot in time.
That's right.
Best guess we've got.
And you have to extrapolate during these interim, because we can't physically go out and do a census every 3 years when doing this. So what happens is when the census data from 2020 comes back and the next districting commission meets, you will have like actual population data in hand based on the census deadline. And then we use that. But, you know, you're right. You know, you can't really put your finger on exact populations at any given time, because there's vacancy rates not only in multifamily but in single family too. Happens. I mean, there's no doubt about it. A household shift. Mm-hmm. But we do our best to try to recalibrate at certain intervals of time to establish fair and balanced districts.
So what, a guesstimate of May of this year, right? It's your best guesstimate of May of this year.
Yeah. The charter requires that you make a recommendation at this juncture. The commission has to make a final decision on your recommendation 120 days before the next election. And frankly, if you look at it, when the qualifying for the next election occurs, the district boundaries have already been established well before that, and the populations may actually be different districts at the time of qualifying, so you never really can like nail it down precisely.
Thanks for addressing the question.
Yep.
Can you go to the map on page 5?
Yeah, sure.
There you go. So that area between the number 5 and the number 2, the way that jogs around.
Right.
Which side is the, where Tuscarora Road's the dividing line there, right. It kind of doesn't
those
look
units
like
are in District 2.
But within that peninsula, if you want to call it that,
oh,
down, go lower.
That's not in the city.
Lower.
That's unincorporated.
Okay, so that's not in any of the. Okay.
What are we talking?
I thought that was just Tuscarora Crossing.
That's where the old meat plant used to be.
Yeah.
If I'm sure Joanne remembers it, but if you lived here,
You'll actually see that this is actually the old district map. With the changes superimposed, but if I go to the final map, keep a close eye on that middle area there.
Right.
If I go to this final map, you can see that that's actually closed in a little bit. I believe some of that's been annexed, but
that's part
it did
of
not
two?
Include population. Yes. Okay. So, right. So anything on the east side of Tuscarora.
So that's currently under development. They're throwing them up faster than we can. Are those numbers in this? This exercise, or will those go into 3 years from now?
Yeah, those will go into the next. Okay. We had a cutoff for our whatever we got the data at a certain point in time. We used that as is.
Thank you.
And I can get you the date of that.
Yeah, there are no C, best of my knowledge, there are no COs in, was it Tuscaloosa Crossings is the name? Yeah, there are no COs yet, so.
There's nothing there yet.
They're building them, like they're calling it, like.
There's about.
Pancakes, but.
20 roofs popped up.
Yeah, they're popping up all over the place, but, you know, the COs, you know, when they finally finish them and CO.
Yeah.
Don't know.
One other question, if I can.
Sure.
You mentioned in the beginning that the commissioners needed to live in their respective districts. Do the proposed changes?
We don't believe so, no. We did go over that, but no, we don't believe so.
Okay, thank you.
We didn't out-district any commissioners.
You can't.
I think they're still, if this map were approved, I believe they're strongly.
They're still there, I'm looking.
They're still in their district.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I like so.
Madam Chair.
That would be.
I would move that we, that this commission recommend to the city commission the adoption of this, of the proposal as presented.
Second.
Discussion? Anybody have any further discussion? Okay, Andrea?
I'm sorry, who gave the second?
I think it was Bob.
Bob did.
Thank you. Yes. Board Member Withy?
Aye.
Vice Chairperson Capro?
Aye.
Chairperson Krebs?
Aye.
Board Member Hoffman?
Aye.
Board Member Evans?
Aye.
Board Member Henderson?
Aye.
Board Member Arak?
Aye.
You did a very great job.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Good presentation.
Yeah, PJ, excellent job.
It really was.
I really thought you did a good job and laid out very logically.
Laid it out, yeah, everything.
She worked for the school board.
Andrea, do we need to sign these?
No, that's a different thing.
Yes.
So, Madam Chairperson?
I'm sorry?
Yep, Madam, just a couple of like house cleaning. Since the board has made its recommendation, I would ask that the commission, actually, authorize you to execute the minutes of this meeting because there will no longer be a reason for the commission to meet, and will have done its job and be dissolved as of this evening. So I would ask that the members authorize you to sign, approve and sign the minutes.
Do we need a motion on that?
Please.
I would move to so authorize that the chairperson, Joanne Krebs, be authorized to go ahead and sign the minutes.
Seconded.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Anthony, are you going to go ahead before this goes to the commission and change 5 to a 4 and the D to, the E to a D?
Yeah.
Just as clear.
Correct. We'll go ahead and, you know, correct those Scrivener's errors in the report. In addition, we will take our standard ordinance that we have used to adopt the map, because the map has to be adopted by ordinance. So we'll take the final map, we'll attach it to the ordinance, and then the ordinance will be presented to the city commission for consideration.
Okay, good. Okay, before we adjourn, I have to call for any public input. Anybody like to say anything? Okay, seeing none, hearing none. And Andrea, you?
No, Mr. Garganese brought it up about the minutes, so thank you.
Okay, so then we're adjourned.
Okay.